Good morning, everyone. My name is Charles Morgan. I'm with Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning, or wherever it is, if you're listening to it, after it's been recorded. But thank you so much for listening to us and for supporting us. We've got some that support us financially. I want to thank you for that. That keeps us on the air. We do have to pay for this, and I got plenty of people that are praying for me, and man, I really, really appreciate that. Keep on praying for us that we'll continue to get the word out and continue on preaching and spreading the word. We get responses every once in a while. People, places that are off from here that say, hey, I listened to it on the radio, or I saw it on YouTube, or I saw it on Facebook, and I just appreciate that and get some good comments, and thank you for that. And the radio station supports us as well. Just continue to pray. Let me pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray for all that are listening, Lord, that your hand will be upon them. Those that are not saved would accept Jesus Christ today. Those that are saved would come stronger in their faith. And we just praise you and give you glory in the name of Jesus. Amen. Some of you have looked at the videos and told me I look like Santa Claus. And this is probably the longest my beard's ever been. If you're listening on the radio, you can't see me. But it soon will be trimmed down. I guarantee you the warm weather's coming on. And I'll be looking forward to that. And when I ride my motorcycle, if I don't do that, it whips up and hits me in the eyes anyway. And I don't like that. So. That's coming too, riding season, and I'm looking forward to getting on that motorcycle, that Harley, and tooling on down the road. And it don't matter what you ride, but get out there and have some fun, you know, enjoy that. I've always said if I can't get on two wheels, I'm going to get me something with three. This morning I'm going to be talking about God's Bill of Rights. I've had this sermon, I've got a notepad, and I've had it down there for quite a while, and this morning I'm going to preach it. I'm going to start in John chapter 3, and God does have a Bill of Rights. He has a things that he's told us that here's what you can do and here's what you can't do and here's the consequences, so we understand what is coming up. Now in John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking here, and he's speaking to a man named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very trained man. He was a very educated man. He was a Pharisee, so he had been trained in the Word of God, and he came to Jesus, and he wanted to know some things. He had some questions. Maybe you got those questions today. And Jesus let him know it's not about who you are that you think you are. It's about who you really are. And the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that's who we really are. You know, Jesus is not concerned about how many tattoos you have or how many you don't have or where you've been or the addictions you've been under or maybe you're under right now. What he cares about is your soul, and he wants you to be in heaven with him, and that's what he is concerned about. That's why he died on the cross, defeated death, so that we could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that's the only way you can do it. So in verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now he threw that, and a lot of people know this. They put it on stuff, you know, and John 3:16. But this is some pretty heady stuff, and this is pretty hard for Nicodemus. I mean, he was looking at it and he goes, man, some of this stuff is just out of this world. And it's true. It's not the natural stuff. It's supernatural, and that's who Jesus is. He is supernatural, and he was trying to give him stuff. But I just love the fact that he sat down and talked to him. He didn't say, no. Now, Nicodemus, what you need to do is get closer to God. That wasn't what he said. He explained things. He talked to him. You know, we need to talk to one another. If you're a child of God out there and you throw that at somebody, well, you just need to get closer to God. Well, number one, they already knew that. Number two, you shouldn't be telling them that. You ought to be telling them the truth, telling them how to get closer to God. But the fact is, most people that are sitting in churches have no idea how to get closer to God. There's people that are sitting in churches today. There's people that you're listening to right now that you've been telling people you've been saved for 40, 50 years, and you don't have a clue how to get closer to God because you yourself have never drawn nigh to him because you've never truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I'd be embarrassed to go up. Well, you need to go up. You need to tell people, hey, I never truly accepted him. Don't be one of those people in Matthew chapter 7 that says, didn't we do all these things? And he said, I never knew you. You want to be known by Jesus. You want to be known by him because you're in his book. You're written down and he knows your name. So he's talking to Nicodemus and he gives this out, you know, this verse. And he said, God loved the world so much. People all the time, you know, well, I don't think a loving God would send anybody to hell. God's not sending anybody to hell, and we're going to find out he's giving a way out of hell. If you're in a burning building and you're trapped, and all of a sudden you see a big strapping fire guy coming in there, a fireman, and he comes in his suit, and he's all covered up, and he says, I'm getting ready, I'm going to carry you out of here. And you go, nah, I think I'll stay in here a little while. I was a little cold a while ago, I'll just warm up. Now, whose fault is that? Is that his or yours? No, but if you surrender and say, hey, take me out of here, I'm ready to go, that's the right choice. And that's what we're doing with Jesus. Some will reject him, some will accept him, and we'll talk about this. And so here's the first thing. He said, verse 17, for God, just like he said in verse 16, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. All right, the first thing in God's Bill of Rights is you have the right to accept him. He said this. He said, God sent his son so that people would not perish. That's what he said in 16. But he said, he didn't send his son to condemn the world. When they brought the woman caught in adultery, Jesus, he said, I don't condemn you either, but he said, go and sin no more. Now, see, we like to forget that part. We don't want to really pay attention to it, but he said, go and sin no more. He didn't condemn her because she was condemned already. See, we're all condemned because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us is condemned already. We don't have to go and say, okay, give me my judgment. Do you think I'm guilty or not? No, he's already said, you're guilty. And he says this, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Folks, believing on Jesus Christ, accepting him as Lord and God, turning your life over to him, you'll be saved. The Bible talks about this in Romans, and we talk about this all the time, and I'm telling you, there's no ABC in Bible. We created these things, and we created easy believism where people can just say, oh yeah, I believe in. Let me tell you something, the demons believe in Jesus. They believe in him. They know who he is, but they have not accepted him. They've not repented, and they can't. But they know who he is. It's not enough to go, yeah, I know who he is. No, you've got to believe in him. You've got to put your faith in him. So if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, confessing he is God. Let me tell you something. Jesus is God. Don't get hung up on this and say, well, I think there's three. No, there's some people that don't follow me on this. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are all one. It's just a way that we can understand it. But let me tell you something. Jesus is God. He's 100% man, 100% God. Don't let anybody kid you. Don't let anybody go, well, they don't believe in that. No, Jesus is God, 100%, but 100% man as well. You say, well, how did that work out? He's God. He can do that. I can't figure it all out. I can't look at it and go, yeah, man, my mind's really wrapped around this. I've had people tell me, well, I understand it. Like, no, you don't. Because when they try to start explaining it to me, I go, no, I think you don't have it even as close as I do. So this is the thing. You got to believe on this. It's not something that you can understand every aspect of it. You can understand what's written here, what's given here. I've had discussions with people and it's, well, why didn't they tell us this in the Bible? Well, you didn't need to know it. Why do you want to know that? You want to get caught up in this stuff. Jesus talked about this with the Pharisees. He said, you're swatting at a gnat, and you're swallowing a camel type thing. You're trying to do this. You're trying to get down these little minutia things here, and you're not even getting the greater concepts, and you're not getting these kind of things. You're not even trying to. You're just trying to focus on these little things so that you don't have to focus on the bigger things. So you can accept Jesus Christ. He said, he believeth on him is not condemned. If you will accept him and give your life over to him, folks, getting saved is not just going up there and go, yep, no, I'm a sinner. Already been told that. You should know that. I know Jesus, is Son of God. You already know that. You've been told that. No, it's turning your life over to him. It's giving a commitment to him and saying, I commit myself to you. When he walked on the shores of Galilee, he went up to those guys and said, come follow me. He didn't say, hey, when you guys get off work, I'll be over here. No, he said, come follow me. And they did. They gave their life. You can look at the end there when he was being crucified or getting ready to be crucified and their reaction. And people were like, well, I can't believe they did that. Look, they put everything into Jesus. They had given it all over to him. And they didn't understand this. They didn't really truly understand what was going on. So they'd given their life over to Jesus. And then when it came down to it that it wasn't going to work out, that they looked at it and they said, hey, things are falling apart. And we committed ourselves to him. It was later on that they figured out exactly what he'd been talking about and said it came back to him, them, what he had said. But we've got it right in front of us. It's a full commitment. Come follow me every day. Maybe you're going to work this morning. Some people do have to do that and on a Sunday morning, but you're listening to this and you go, wait a minute, you know, I've got to go fully commit to Jesus every single minute of your life, every single thing. He that believeth on him, you put it all to him. You give it to him and say, this is it. That's what he gives. That's the first thing in the Bill of Rights. You can accept Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's open to everyone. It doesn't have any caveats in there. It doesn't say if you're rich enough or if you're poor enough or if you lived rough enough or if you lived easy enough or if your skin color is this or that. It says whosoever. Whosoever. Aren't you a whosoever this morning? Won't you accept Jesus Christ this morning? You can accept him. Maybe you're in a bad spot and you say, you don't understand. I just told you a while ago it doesn't matter. And maybe I don't understand exactly what you're going through because I've never gone through that or had, but I've gone through a lot of stuff and maybe I've gone through stuff you haven't. And let me tell you something. Jesus understands it. He said he understands our infirmities because he's lived this life. He knows us. He knows about us. He had family. He had friends. He worked. He understands that. He knows what life is about. That's the point he brought, and he did it sinlessly. He lived on this earth sinlessly. He didn't do any of those things. Folks, I've been building on my house, and I tell you what, I can show you things on my hands, and boy, thoughts ran through my head when I hurt myself, you know. But Jesus lived sinlessly. You know, our thoughts are just as bad as our actions. Jesus said that. He said, if you lusted after a woman, you committed adultery already. Even though you didn't do the act, you've already done that because you thought it. You had it in your head. And so, folks, Jesus did this. And he did this and he said, Nicodemus, he said, those who accept me are not condemned. Not condemned to where? Not condemned to hell. Not condemned to that lake of fire where death and hell are going to be cast into. He said, they are not condemned. So my prayer for you this morning, and I hope that you will, is accept Jesus Christ. And if you have accepted Jesus Christ, that you'll come back to the realization of what was truly done for you. And you need to get off your high horse and know everything that you think. And folks, I've been raised up in churches all my life, and I've seen these people, and they come in with their nose in the air thinking I'm better than somebody else because I come to church every Sunday. I sit right there in that pew. I don't care how many pews you wear out with your backside, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, if you never accepted him and truly gave your life over to him, then you still are not going to heaven. That is the only way. And the Bible tells me that when you accept Jesus Christ, you become a new creature. If you're just like you were, or you're just like somebody else, if somebody goes, well, they're just like the rest of their family, you know, and they're cheats and they're do this and that, and you cheat people in your business, are you really saved? Are you a new creature? I want you to ask yourself that this morning. Have you truly given your heart to Jesus? Are you a new creature this morning? Can you say that the old things are passed away? I'm not who I used to be, and I want everybody to have this. Can you truly say that when someone comes in your door of your church house that you want to get up and you go shake their hand, even if they're in dirty, smelly clothes and you don't know anything about them? Or are you more likely to get up and somebody's got a three-piece suit on and go, hey, that's the kind of people we need here? I've heard people go to other people and say, we need you to come to church because we need givers. Well, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be trying to get them to accept something that Jesus is giving. Eternal life. Is your church known for all of its programs and everything else? Or is it known for true worship? When you come in those doors, you truly worship Jesus Christ. And you can feel it when you walk in. How about your home? Is your home a place of worship? Or is it a place of getting away so that you don't have to? See, Jesus said, those that believe are not condemned already. This is the same Jesus that I'm talking about that said to these people, I never knew you. And that's what he said. He's going to tell them, I never knew you. So number one, God's Bill of Rights. You can accept him. And you can do that today. Number two is you can reject him. He allows you to do that. He said, you don't have to accept me. He said, you can go on your own way. You can do what you want to. And he even talks about this, that narrow is that way to righteousness. And few will find it. Broad is that way to destruction. And there's going to be a whole bunch of people. He's giving that example because he's telling you it's not simple. It's not just something you just say, yeah, that's easy. Folks, it's tough to give your life up because we have built in that we want to. That sin nature says, nope, you maintain control of it. Even if you tell everybody you're saved, you still try to maintain control. And the evil one will tell you stuff like this. Well, you know, you can go up there and say you're saved and it'll be okay as long as you don't tell anybody that you're not really, that it'll be all right. Folks, it won't. You can reject him, but those who reject Jesus Christ, they don't get condemned because they reject him. Jesus said they're condemned already. They are already condemned. He said that I came not to condemn the world. The world through me might be saved. That's why he came to the world, to seek and to save that which is lost. He gives some parables about that, you know, the lost sheep, the lost coin, those kinds of things. And he is seeking, and he's seeking this morning, and maybe this morning, or whenever you're listening to this, it's tugging at your heart. That's the Holy Spirit pulling you and saying, don't you want to accept it? Dealing with you right now. Folks, there may come a time when he quits dealing with you. I've talked to people, and it's a sad thing, and they tell me I can't. There's no longer that pull. I rejected him so long. There's no longer that pull, and that's a sad thing for that person. And you look at them, and you go, oh, that can't be, but they just say, I can't. I can't. And they're not being mean about it. They just, I can't. And it rings in my head, the people that did have done that. And it just hurts my heart. And I don't want you to be that way. If you feel that tugging at your heart today, give your life to Jesus Christ. Quit rejecting him today. But you can. God says, you can reject me. You can go your own way. There are consequences for that, but you can do that. You can say, I don't want anything. And people do that every day. I don't want anything to do with that. Please quit talking to me about it. Don't give it to me anymore. I don't want to hear it anymore, preacher. People get on to me, well, you shouldn't be preaching this. You shouldn't preach that. Well, you get too tough on this. I'll keep on preaching until God calls me home. And I'll keep on telling people about Jesus Christ. And I'll keep on telling people that he's the only way. He said it himself. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to heaven this morning. You can't hug enough trees. You can't do enough good deeds. You can't give enough money to charities or anything like that without Jesus Christ. All those things are good. You can love the environment. You can love what God has created. You can love other people, and you can give to causes. You can do things, but don't let your busyness replace the true relationship with Jesus Christ. You may be busy from dusk to dawn doing church work or what you consider to be church work or Jesus's work or whatever you want to do it and still die and go to hell because you never accepted Jesus Christ. You rejected him. You say, well, I've never really just rejected him. I'm just waiting. Well, if you didn't make a decision for him, you are making a decision against him. That's the way it is. There's only the two choices. You can either accept him or reject him. And in his Bill of Rights, he said, you can accept me. And we talked about that, or you can reject me. Rejecting him is death and hell, and he doesn't want that for you. He wants something greater for you. He wants a home in heaven for you. So won't you accept him this morning? But he says, you can reject me. He that believeth not is condemned already. He said, I don't have to condemn him. It won't come to a point where that's the day of condemnation. You are condemned already. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's every single one of us. I don't care if you're clean shaven, you got a long beard like mine, or you live in a big house, or you live in a small house, or you've got a great job and lots of money, or you got a meaningless job and you don't have a whole lot of money, or you've gone through all kinds of things. I'm telling you what, if hell could bust open and those people come and witness, they'd be some of the greatest witnesses for Jesus Christ that ever stepped foot on this face of this earth. The rich man looked up and said, hey, can you send Lazarus to my brothers? Send him my brothers so they don't come here. He didn't want them to be there with him. He didn't say, hey, this is a great party here. And you've probably been told that. Maybe you said that. I'm going to be with all my friends and we're going to be partying. There's no party in hell. Rich man looked up and he said he was in torment. Actually says torments. In these flames. One drop of water is all I want. He felt, He could see. He knew what was going on. At that time, paradise was there, and he looked across there, and he saw Lazarus, and the man had laid at his gate and ate crumbs and anything that anybody would give him, and dogs licked on him, and he couldn't do anything. And there he sat in the bosom of Abraham, right there chumming it up. He said, man, just send him back. And Abraham said, hey, if they won't believe the prophets, they wouldn't believe a dead man. That's pretty sad. Today, I want you to accept Jesus Christ. You know, maybe you've never accepted him, and you know that. You've never made a profession of faith, and you want to accept him today. And you say, I want to do that. I just told you how. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Accept him as God. Confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved is what it says. You got to give your life over to him. Say, Lord, I'm not doing this anymore. You do it. You take my life. Or maybe you've told people, like I've said, for years and years that you've been saved, and you know for a fact you're not. Accept him today. You don't have to be in a church house. Some people get saved out in a field. Man, when I've said this before, when I was a young kid and we worked in the cotton fields, when they still grew cotton where I lived, people would talk to other people about Jesus. People would get down on their knees at the end of the row and accept Jesus Christ. And nobody yelled at them and said, hey, get back to work. They knew what was going on. They wanted that. They wanted people to accept Jesus Christ. It didn't matter who they were or where they came from or whose family they were a part of. They wanted them to accept Jesus Christ. You can reject him today, but that's not what he wants. That is not what he wants. He does not want you to reject him today. He said, if you reject him, he said, you're condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's who Jesus is. When Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, do you believe? And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some of these new versions take that out of there. Why do you think they're taking it out? Because they don't want you to know that. They don't want you to understand that Jesus Christ is God. They don't want you to understand that. They don't want you to get to that point where you have heard the truth. Maybe you heard some false things and somebody's told you, well, if you'll just send this money to here, you'll be saved. And you did it and you know there's nothing to that you still are who you were. It takes a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Personal relationships are different than acquaintances. And I've explained it this way, and I'll explain it again. If I'm driving down a gravel road somewhere, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I drive and I see somebody that I kind of know, I'm acquaintance with them. I know who they are, but I'll drive by and I'll just kind of raise that finger up, you know, wave at them. Just acknowledge, oh, hey there. But if I'm driving down that same road and I meet somebody I know that I have a relationship with, and I know it, I'll be trying to get my window down. I'll put my hand out the window and I'll hit my brakes and maybe we'll have to back up and we'll start talking. And because we know each other, we're acquainted and we want to talk and we enjoy that. And sometimes we may sit there for a long time till somebody comes up behind us and we'll have to move on. Well, that's a relationship. The other is acquaintanceship. You may be acquainted with Jesus. You may know who he is, but you don't have a relationship with him this morning. You need to have a relationship where you have a talk with him. You have a conversation with him every day, every moment, everything that happens. You can know you can talk to Jesus. It doesn't matter where you are, and you'll drive down the road and you'll be at stoplights talking and people are looking at you, but you don't care because you're talking to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know that he's talking back and you know that he's got a home prepared for you because he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And you know that when he died on that cross, that he defeated death also in 3 days and that he's alive today. And you know that he's coming back for his own. And you know he's going to make it all right. And you know that no matter what happens in this world, you've got a peace that he gives you that you can look at and go, it's okay. I may get a little aggravated every once in a while. I may even talk about it. I may even say, well, don't you know what's happening in the news? But you ultimately know, hey, he's got all this. And you can look around, you can see things that are happening in the world, and you go, this may not be it, but it's sure leading up to it. And it's sure following the path that the Bible says. It's not like somebody predicted somewhere back and now somebody's looking and go, hey, maybe that's what they were talking about. No, it's right here in the Bible and it tells us what's happening. It told us that things were going to get worse and worse. Jesus said it'll get like the days of Noah, where their thoughts and everything about them was evil continually. That's all they were doing. It was debauchery. It was self-indulgence. It wasn't anything about God anymore. It was all about themselves. I used to think that they were going around with hatchets and killing one another. But then when I got to reading and I realized what was going on, they were into their own life. They'd forgotten about God. They were into everything that they were doing. I personally think they were pretty advanced. Maybe as much as we are right now. And they were doing all these things and they were looking at it and go, I don't need God. I've got the internet. I've got my cell phone. I've got all these things. Why should I need him? Jesus said it'll be just like that. So this morning you can accept him. Today you can reject him. Hebrews says, harden not your heart today as in the day of the provocation. So you can reject him. You can accept him. And once you accept him, I'm telling you this, you need to serve him. If you claim to be a child of God and you're not serving him, then are you truly a child of God? Did you really get the free gift of salvation? Do you really acknowledge that every single day? You know, James tells us this way. He says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Now, I want you to get this point. We're to be hearers, okay? We are to be listening to the word of God. We are to be getting into it. We're to listen to someone preach because Jesus was a preacher. Solomon, we talked about, proclaimed himself the preacher. And so we need that preaching. We need to get into the Bible. We need to study. We need to listen to what God's saying to us by reading and studying as well. We need to be hearers of the word, but James says, don't just hear it. Do something with it. It's not enough to have a knowledge. You need to do something with it. You may be the greatest carpenter that's ever hit this earth, and when you never pick up a hammer and a nail and you never do anything with it, what have you really done? You've acquired a knowledge. You've got some wisdom about it, but you're not doing anything with it. You're not telling anybody about it. You're not doing anything with it. So what's it worth? So what's your Christianity worth if you're not doing anything? You need to serve him. That's part of the Bill of Rights. He said, you can reject me, you can accept me, but if you accept me, you need to get to work. You need to do something. You say, what is that? What do I do? God gave you a gift. Do something with it. You know, maybe you're gifted. Maybe you're a great preacher, and you're gonna go out speaking. Folks, I know some gifted, talented preachers that are just phenomenal, and they can preach and they get the word across, and people understand it and they accept Christ afterwards because they know that this guy has been anointed by God and he's speaking. And God does anoint people. He's preachers, evangelists, and those are different. You get evangelists and they go and they preach different places, and they've been given a talent to spread the word of God. You got people that are pastors that are pastoring churches. That means they're the shepherd of that flock. It's too bad that we don't have many pastors going into pastoring anymore. We don't have people doing that, and some that are going in, the stress and the way they're treated is so bad that they give it up. Young men go into it, and I don't want this. Older men are going, you know what? It's getting too bad. People are not listening. They've got itchy ears. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to be told the truth. They want to just have a great program here and a great program there. I've talked to some of the various churches, you know, and they say, well, what we need to do is this, you know, and I'm like, no, what you need to do is preach the word of God. You need to get out there and preach the word of God. You need to have somebody in that pulpit that doesn't worry about what you think to preach the word of God. Doesn't worry about what your kinfolk are into that it might offend you when he gets up and preaches. Doesn't matter that you're doing something wrong and he preaches about it. You've been given a gift. It may be organizing something. It may be talking. It may be teaching. Whatever it is, you need to use it. You can serve him. My hope for you this morning is that you will accept Jesus Christ if you never accept him. And folks, I'm going to say it again. There are people that have been in pews for decades that are not saved. There are people that have come in, they've sat in a pew for 2 minutes, they're not saved. There are people walking around this earth that are condemned already. They are the walking dead. It's not a zombie reference, but I'm telling you, they are the walking dead. They need to be made alive through Jesus Christ. I want you to accept Jesus Christ this morning. I hope and pray that through these words that you will come to the knowledge that you are a sinner. But God has that free gift of salvation, and He wants you to have that. He wants you to have a home in heaven. He said so. So the Bill of Rights is this. You can reject Him. You can accept Him. But once you accept Him, you must serve Him. There's a responsibility. You owe allegiance to Him because He saved you from death. He saved you from hell. And so won't you accept Him this morning? He said, and this is a condemnation that light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He said, light came into the world, but they didn't want to turn the switch on. They didn't want to accept it. Their thoughts were evil. That's where we are today. Come out of the evil and accept Jesus Christ. Won't you accept Him this morning and give your heart to Him and say, Lord, I want You to be Lord of my life. I want to make You that. Then drop us a line. Let us know on box 1152 at Mammoth Spring, or get on the internet and our Facebook page or whatever and say, hey, I got saved. Please pray for me. I'll even try to lead you to a good Bible-believing church. My name is Charles Morgan. This is Word is Alive Ministries. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you today.